the machinery of life? If we want to get at the very beginning of life, nanomachines sit at the very heart of the mystery. But first, like Alice, we have to go through the looking glass into a world where the tiniest things, atoms and molecules, loom large. They are in control of reality at the microscopic level. Whatever happens in nature, whether in the center of a supernova, the gas clouds of deep space, or a living cell, is happening through the interaction of atoms and molecules. Nothing else is germane to how life began in material terms. If atoms and molecules cannot accomplish the job on their own, it can't be done. This is what current biology holds. For the moment, we'll exclude quanta, although we'll return to them later. Atoms interact with each other almost instantaneously. You may have heard of chemicals known as free radicals that exist in the human body, being involved in many processes, both destructive and constructive. Free radicals, therefore, are double-edged swords. They are associated with aging and inflammation, for example, yet at the same time, they are necessary for healing wounds. The basic thing that free radicals do is quite simple, however. They steal electrons from other atoms and molecules. Their own count of electrons is unstable because of exposure to radiation, smoking, and other environmental factors, or from the body's own natural processes. The immune system creates free radicals to steal electrons from invading bacteria and viruses as a way of neutralizing them. The most common atom involved in electron stealing is oxygen. When its electron count becomes unstable, oxygen latches on to the nearest electron it can steal. Therefore, free radicals are highly reactive and usually very short-lived. For living organisms and their cells, this is a life-or-death matter. It boils down to the paradox that life requires stability and instability at the same time. Life also requires that vastly different timescales, from nanoseconds to millions of years, somehow be tied together. A cell operates in thousands of a second, but took tens of millions of years to evolve. The meshing of opposites that makes life possible isn't theoretical. Inside a cell, some atoms and molecules must be freed up to do various jobs by bonding with other atoms and molecules. Yet, having done their job, stable substances must persist without ever changing. But which atom goes where? They don't come with address labels. To compound the problem, some of the most important organic chemicals, chiefly chlorophyll in plants, and hemoglobin in red-blooded animals, carry the tricky balance of stability versus instability to amazing extremes. Hemoglobin sits inside a red blood cell, constituting 96% of the cell's dry weight. Its function is to pick up oxygen and transport it through the bloodstream to every cell in the body. Blood gains its red color from the iron in hemoglobin, which turns red after it picks up an oxygen atom, exactly as iron turns reddish when it rusts, and for the same reason. When the oxygen atoms reach their destination and are released, the red color fades, which is why blood in your veins is bluish. Venous blood is on the return journey to the lungs, where it will start the process of oxygen transport all over again. The ability of hemoglobin to carry oxygen is 70 times greater than if the oxygen were simply dissolved in the blood. All vertebrates contain hemoglobin, except fish, who pick up oxygen from water through their gills instead of breathing air, and therefore employ a different process. As a molecule, hemoglobin is a miracle of construction. Since we've gone through the looking glass, let's imagine walking into the hemoglobin molecule as if entering a vaulted building, like a greenhouse with spidery chains of smaller molecules forming the girders and beams. At first, it would be hard to even see the iron atoms that are the whole reason for hemoglobin's existence. Ribbons of proteins form helixes, and other chemicals link the helixes, functioning like welded bolts. With an eye for pattern, we discern that the protein chains hold a specific shape. There are subunits within the units or proteins, each bonded to the only thing that isn't a protein, the iron atoms formed into hemes. These are rings of proteins encircling the iron. In structural terms, there are also specific folds and pockets that need to be in place.